Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone with Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharsky. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Glad you're with us, and we're glad to be speaking with Dr. Bill Schaffner, infectious disease specialist at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Doctor, thank you for the time. How are you?
Still vertical, thank you, and hanging in. Thank you very much, and you guys look great also.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Very kind.
We're vertical as well. Good to be able to do this show on a daily basis, no matter the circumstances. Yesterday, Dr. Fauci, who you know well, said to prepare for 100,000 or more deaths nationwide. What is the likelihood that we can reduce that number based on the current mitigation efforts?
Well, if you listen to him carefully, he said that would be the number if we did everything right. That's why it was really powerfully sobering. And if there were anybody out there who hadn't gotten the word, hello, this is serious business.
And then he also went on to say that based on the way that they're getting their data, there is a chance that that number could still go down based on how they're polling everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If we can all do stay at home, keep ourselves separate, wash our hands, be working together on this, perhaps we can diminish that further. We sure like to see that happen.
But if we don't do everything right, and we know, we see pictures still, we hear reports, and we know we're not a great rule-following country, even if the stakes are up and there's non-believers. If we don't do everything right, what's the range we can envision?
Well, they were saying up to 200 or more thousand deaths this season. That's a stupendous number. That's like twice or even three times what a serious influenza season gifts us each year with deaths. So that's very, very important. We might all experience what's happening in New York. We're not there yet, and we don't want to get there.
CNN reported that there are 25 to 50% of those infected, they have no symptoms. And I was thinking back to what we have discussed in the past, Doctor, about, you know, if there's a lack of testing, it's tough to really pinpoint who's asymptomatic walking around. And so how are they getting those numbers determined with the lack of testing that we still have?
They're extrapolating from what they currently have, and we're also looking at our clinical experience. And clearly there are many, many people who have modest symptoms or who may have no symptoms who are still contagious. And that's why they have to participate also for their own benefit and the benefit of everybody around them.
How complex or not complex is a ventilator as a machine? So
it's pretty complex because there are all kinds of feedback mechanisms in it. And so it's not the easiest device. It's not just a water pump. It's more complex than that.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us on the Midday 180. What have you learned in the last couple of weeks about the easiest way for people to become infected and then the most effective ways to avoid that?
Well, the easiest way people become infected is through face-to-face contact within 3 to 6 feet of each other, usually prolonged contact in an enclosed space. And then the second most common way is if you get your hands contaminated and then touch your mouth or your nose or your eyes. That's why you hear the admonitions, the instructions so frequently. Keep away from other people, keep your distance, and constant hand washing. If you haven't washed your hands in the last 10 minutes, do it now.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us. Chad, it's time to go to the Twitter questions.
Yeah, and remember, you can just tweet us with the hashtag Dr. Bill to ask your question. Scott on Twitter has this one. I am deemed essential as a semi-parts department worker and delivery driver for the same company. I encounter so many people from all over the country. What can I do to help reduce my risk of COVID-19?
Well, the first thing is keep your hands washed as much as possible. Try to interact with people at a distance. That, I'm sure, gets difficult. And as the CDC, I think, is going to suggest, if you've got a mask and you're out there doing it, you might want to use that. or something like a scarf or even a bandana might offer some modest protection. Doesn't make you bulletproof.
Yeah, Andrew, there's been increasing conversation about masks, Doctor. Are we headed that direction? And then if the recommendation is that we should wear masks when we're out, we're hearing that there are no masks to be had. Is that going to create another panic as everybody goes scrambling for masks?
I think it'll probably be a soft recommendation, Paul. If you've got something, wear it. And there are a lot of people who have masks in their home. We don't want them to go out and buy it and siphon the masks off the healthcare environment. But then make your own mask. In the New York Times today, they had a pattern about how you can sew your own mask. They're available also on the internet. Scarves, use bandanas and things like that. And then recognize that the benefit is likely to be modest. It's not going to, as I say, make you bulletproof. You're going to have to still keep your distance.
And to just take that a bit further, in the past, you've clarified with one of our Twitter questions that came in about it's not really going to help prevent you from picking up coronavirus if the person infected is not also wearing a mask. Is that correct?
Sure. You know, masks offer modest protection out in the community. You could still pick it up if you were close to someone and you were there and had a prolonged conversation face to face. So it's not perfect. It's just another little thing to do. And, you know, it makes you feel a little better. The rest of us are out there almost as victims. We're waiting for the virus to attack us. Wearing the mask is something that we can do, even if it's modest, to protect ourselves and those around us.
What's it been like to see the scientific community all over the world come together on one specific issue with COVID-19? And are you seeing a level of collaboration on this that maybe you haven't seen in your career up to this point?
Actually, it's always exciting to see the world's public health and scientific community working together. And more or less, similar things have happened with Zika, with Ebola. You know, the scientific community tries to be apolitical. We're just interested in the facts, sharing those facts, and sharing assistance amongst the scientific group to create vaccines and therapies.
Andrew on Twitter asked the question, is there a time frame on when we'll expect to see some results of social distancing? And I'll follow up with that. What have we seen in a state like Washington? And can that provide sort of a blueprint for how things need to go with the rest of the country?
Well, both in Washington and California, we're now seeing a slight downturn in numbers of new cases, giving proof of principle to social distancing. Social distancing takes time to have its effect. So we do the social distancing now, and we expect the impact in about a week to 2 weeks. So there is a bit of delay.
Doctor, we're getting a lot of questions about the disease, the virus being on substances, how long it can stay there. Should you disinfect groceries that you get before you bring them into the house? Should you wash down any packaging if you go and get delivery food? What would your recommendation be? We've asked you before about getting curbside takeout, limiting any interaction with anyone. But in terms of the packaging the food comes in, the packaging your groceries come in, should people take extra precautions with that, or is that overkill?
I don't think it's overkill, but some of us might be more fastidious than others, and there's nothing wrong with doing that if you've got some wipes to do that. But wash your hands. Remember, the virus is not going to jump off the paper bag or the carton and bite you in the ankle. You're going to have to touch it. Oh, touch it. It's now on my hands. If now I do hand hygiene, I interrupt the transmission.
Dr. Bill Schaffner with us. Rebecca asks, are there any circumstances where separate households could combine? What if both parties isolate for 14 days? Could they then combine on day 15? Or would asymptomatic transmission still be a concern?
Great question.
Well, that's an extreme example. If you're both couples are really isolated, or both households are really isolated for 14 days, obviously they could come together. But I wouldn't want to recommend that as a routine, because the basic principles is stay separate.
Shelby says, my child's school is closed like many, and now we need a babysitter because my wife and I are both working. How do I keep my family safe with someone new in the house?
We have to do the best we can, right? If that person also is a person who does not go out in the community very much, just back and forth from their home to your home, I think you're in pretty good shape, and you would want to make sure that that person understands the principles of hand hygiene. And of course, at the moment that person gets any symptoms, doesn't come into your house. It's going to be a risk. We hope it's a small one.
Josh writes to say, I have regular soap and antibacterial soap. Does it matter which soap I use? Please help explain the difference.
No difference in terms of preventing this virus or killing this virus. Just use either one frequently and enthusiastically.
Is it safe to go to the dentist?
If this is a routine dental visit, postpone it. Dentists are doing that. If it's a necessary visit, that's another matter. The dentist will and the dental staff will be using appropriate infection control precautions.
DB on Twitter asks, from a scientific perspective, do you believe that all states and municipalities should be under some form of stay-at-home guidelines?
That would be the best. There's no doubt about it. If anybody out there hasn't gotten the word, they should get the word and stay home starting right now.
You talked last time you were with us, Doctor, about hot zones and zones that were heating up. And I believe you described Nashville and Tennessee as a state and area that was heating up, but not quite hot. When you look at what's going on in New Orleans and Detroit and what's already happened and is happening in New York City, where does Nashville and Tennessee relate to those areas? And if we're going to start to see, and I believe Dr. Fauci said yesterday, in the next 3 days to a week, you should start to see the leveling off in New York City and starting to go back down. With what's going on in New Orleans, how long can we expect to see them continue to rise since it started later?
Well, obviously, if social distancing is rigorously in place in all those communities, and it was a little dicey in the beginning, we would hope to see some leveling off in New York soon and in New Orleans after that. We're still on the upsweep. But as I look out at our community, we've really complied with the stay-at-home guidance very, very well. And so I hope that we've flattened the curve here in Nashville.
Dr. Shafter, is there a reason, a rhyme or reason as to why more men are affected so far by the results we have than women when it comes to coronavirus?
We're not entirely sure that sex difference is going to sustain itself in the United States. But certainly there was a big difference in China, and men in China smoke much more than do the women. And we thought that probably accounted for a lot of that difference there.
I was wondering about kids and bike rides. Obviously, you don't want kids playing together. And I think most of us have forbidden that. If my son were to meet his buddy from up the street, bike ride, they're nowhere near 6 feet around. But if they were to go around the block a couple times, mindful of not crossing paths, what would you think of that? Or should I stay away from that too?
Well, that's like going out for a walk, which is a good thing. And people say, yeah, if you're going out for a walk and you want to go out with one partner, good. Try to stay a little bit farther away than you would normally, but keep it to two and make sure your interactions are entirely outside and you don't start inside somebody's house and have a long conversation close face to face. It's all a matter of degree. Sounds like it might be important for the kids, but even they know how to stay far apart and just come close to each other momentarily.
Are there any numbers that are encouraging to you as you study this for another week since we've last talked?
Yeah, there are some numbers. There's an organization called KIME, which is looking at fever in various locations around the United States. And they can track, for example, the increase with influenza. They are looking at the impact of social distancing, and fever episodes are diminishing in those communities that early on started social distancing. That's really very encouraging.
Dr. Bill Schaffner has been our guest. Let me say this to you. I thought you did a tremendous job of trying to hold in that cough or that sneeze that you had on. Was it CNN? You were trying to hold that in for like 15 seconds, and I could see it, like your eyes started to water. I'm like, oh, he's about to sneeze or cough. You did a great job of trying not to do that. And eventually, I mean, they didn't take you off the screen. That's on them.
Well, that went viral, and that was an allergy sneeze, not a COVID sneeze. I do have seasonal allergy, and I couldn't believe it was coming. And I didn't press my nose or anything. I was hoping it would go away, and then bang, there it was.
Well, I mean, I couldn't tell if it was a cough or a sneeze, Paul, because he held it in to the point where, you know, his mouth really didn't open.
That's impressive.
It was impressive. He held it for a while.
I've gone down in infamy.
Well, you can always give us a signal and then hit your mute button and yeah. we'll talk right through. Hey, we look forward to connecting with you again next week, we hope. And again, we really appreciate that you've chosen to be, of all the outlets that you're being with, that you've included us in your loop. It's invaluable and a real gift to our listeners.
It's a great joy for me too. Glad to be able to be of help. Thanks.